Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya, but the new sugya is really building off of a yisod that we spoke about before Yom Tov. We spent a lot of time before Yom Tov talking about the Shita Saran, so just get back into things, how we ended up in the sugya altogether. This is really a very much a Dinei Mamonos principle, but it started with the Ran of Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara was talking about a situation where we have a suffolk, whether the woman is to be Kedesh or not, what we call a Nasan Hu V'Amrahi. He gave her the ring, she did the speaking, and we threw our hands up. We weren't sure whether the condition is valid. We weren't even sure why we weren't sure the condition is valid. Like I said, we showed him what the suffix was, but at the end of the day, we weren't sure what the condition is valid. So the question is, where do you go at that point? What do you do with the situation of a suffix condition? So the Ran had a tremendous chiddush. The Ran writes that whenever you have a suffix condition, min haTorah, you don't have to be worried about anything, because min haTorah, you follow the chazocha, you follow the status quo. Women used to be single, and now we're not sure whether her status has changed. So therefore, we shalav chazaka, we follow the chazaka, and minat Torah, she doesn't require a get. Chumras ben Rabbanah won't give her a get, but minat Torah, she doesn't require a get. You follow chazaka. So that was sounds like a pretty straightforward sheet of the Ran. Like any other case in halacha, you follow a suffolk, you follow chazaka. But the Ran somehow wasn't even sure that was right. And if we take a look again, back at the first of Mamakomos, actually the Ran again I put in the Mamakomos, ulefikach ani mistapek bechol suffolk kedushin, itzrich get midaraisa lo. The Ran says, I'm not even sure whether min haTorah you require a get. The efshir midaraisa sharia, mishum de ikal meima midisha chaskasa. So how many lashonas of suffolk did the Ran have in one line? So he says, ani mistapek bechol suffolk, and that doesn't count. Itzrich de efshir mishum de ikal meima. That doesn't sound very committal to me. So the Ran is not quite sure whether this is true. But then what's startling, which really leads us into our discussion, is the Ran's trying to bring a raya that you follow chazaka. Now, why you should or should not have followed chazaka that we spoke about a lot in the past, in terms of also suffolk in din, not a suffolk in betzias, that was already a whole sugya before Yom Tov. But what's really startling about the Ran is the Ran's proof, and that's really what gets us into our next sugya. The Ran says, I'll prove to you that you say chazaka here. The Maishnam be called Teku de Mamona. Why is this different from any other case of a suffix Mamona, Teku in Halacha, relating to Mamon? The Amrinan Behamid Mamona Chazkaso, that we follow the Chazaka, that we let the original person hold on to the money, even though it's a suffix in Halacha. Viskibo Kol Gedoli Acharonim, all the Gedoli Acharonim, which we call the Gedoli Harishonim, but he was one of the Rishonim, so he called them the Acharonim. Shafilu Tukfei Tevei Amatzir Nesabiyado. That we follow Chazaka so much in Dinei Mamonos that even if the other party subsequently grabs it, we're going to give it back to the original person, the original machzik, and therefore we should follow Chazaka here also. So this Ran is mamish poliplay. With chilav yatzof, this Ran is difficult to understand. First of all, he's mixing and matching. We're talking Issa v'Heter, and he's talking Dinei Mamonos. Many of us just said the tefillah, you know, before you start learning, they say the tefillah Rabbi Nachum Ben Akana. So one of the things that you ask for, you shouldn't be nichshel in halacha. Deim is the heta, heim is the imamunus. The two different areas. So the Ran is mixing and matching the imamunus and isurim. And number two, he's bringing a proof from the fact that in a case of a suffolk mamon, we let the person take, and the other guy can't be toe-faced, can't grab, and therefore that explains the whole world. Doesn't explain anything. I'm not sure what he's talking about. So we have to take 10 steps back with this Ran, and we have to first familiarize ourselves with what are the rules of a suffolk mamon. What does happen when you have a suffolk mamon? What does happen when you have a taker? What does happen when you have an unresolved issue with mamonis? And specifically, what happens in terms of, even though we all know hamotze mechavei levaraya, that we give it to the person who's holding on to it, but what if the other person jumps the gun? What if the other fellow grabs? Where does that place us in terms of halacha? So that's what the name of our sugya is, Tukfei Teveya B'Safek Mamon. That if you have a Safek Mamon, and one party holds on to the Mamon because of Amotzi B'Chavela V'Raya, and the other person is Tokiv, the other person grabs, what do we not do? Because once we understand that, then we'll begin to get an inkling, get a glimpse into what the Ran is driving about. So the bottom line is we're really learning, believe it or not, we're still learning Maseches Kedushin. If you take a look at the next few Maamar Makomos, a lot of bav metzias, a lot of mamunis, a lot of ksubas, a lot of other stuff. Very, very little kedushin in here. But it's 3 pages of Maimon Kamos. It's a very long sugya. But it's really a yesodist, a fundamental sugya, really a shas sugya, that to understand what are the parameters of tukfa mamon, tukfa tevel besafik mamon. Once we understand that sugya, then we'll be able to hopefully connect the dots and come back to the Ran and really, really appreciate where the Ran is coming from. So we have to open up with literally the ABCs of Safik Mamun. What do you do when you have a Safik Mamun? Reuben says one thing, Shimon says something else. Bezim's listening. We have no idea. We're coming and going. We listened to all the Eidos, all the Kabbalists did everything, and we still have no idea what to do. So Gemara says in several places that the starting point, the baseline of all Dinei Mamunos is Hamotzi Mechaveru Levaraya. That if Bezim cannot prove one way or the other, then the money has to remain where it is. Hamotzi Mechaveru. How do you know that? So that's a big question in the Gemara. At one stage, the Gemara thinks that's based on a pasuk. Then the Gemara thinks maybe it's based on a svara. But there's no question it's a din derais. The Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Bava Kama, the fifth parak, it's a din min haTorah, no question about it. We're not quite sure what the source is, but for sure it's a din min haTorah. But now, the Gemara, in the beginning of Maseches Bava Metzia and Avav, raises a question. We paskin the Motzvich of Arai already. Okay, so Reuven and Shimon had a fight over Mamun. Bezin is unresolved. We gave it to Reuven. We let Reuven hold on to it. So we walk out of Beis Din. We let Kapaskin that Reuven is the owner because we don't know what to do. It's a little riot. 10 minutes later, Shimon bowls Reuven over and he grabs it away from Reuven. Now what do we do? So now we can look at this two different ways. Either we could say, well, we just awarded it to Reuven 5 minutes ago. Now Shimon bowls him up. What do you think? This is the wild, wild west. He said, we just paskin about Tzvech of Araya. We're going to take it right out of Shimon's hands and give it right back to Reuven again. Or maybe we should say, no, wait a second. We don't really know it was Reuven's altogether. The only reason why we gave it to Reuven was because almost our hands were tied, because we invoked the psach called Havotze Bechaber Levaraya. Namely, where it is, that's where it stays, and we're not going to do anything about it. Well, guess what? Where is it? Right now, it's in Shimon's hands. Shimon got it because he bowled, because he's 6'8". Reuven's 5'2". You know, we're sorry. You know, our feelings go out to Reuven, but at the end of the day, how in the world are we with a straight face going to take the money away from Shimon and give it back to Reuven? What are we going to say to Shimon? We're going to look Shimon in his face and say, give it back. You're the Motzim Chalev Arayim. So that's the sugi that's called Tukfo Kohen. What do we have against the Kohanim? Why is the Kohen is the one who's being Tokev? Because the discussion in Maseches Bamitzia and Davav Amidbeis begins with, if you take a look at the top of the second of the Maimon Kamos, so it begins with Sufik Bechoros. If you have a Sufik in Hilchos Bechor, now Hilchos Bechor is a tricky area of halacha because it carries with it both Issa V'Hetter as well as Dinim Mamonos. There are halachas that govern what you're not allowed to do with a Bechor, depending on what kind of a Bechor it is. If it's a Bechor behemoth Tahora, it's a kosher animal that has to be brought as a carbon. And even Bizman Hazeb, there's no Bisa Mikdash, it's also to work with it, also to use, etc. So there are halachas in terms of Issa V'Hetter that govern Bechoros, but there are also halachas of Dinim Mamonos. Say, for example, it goes to the Kohen. So even in a situation where many of the Isurim don't apply, the Mamon, it's still Mamon Kohen, it still belongs to the Kohen. Then you have Bechor Behemoth Tameh, let's say you have a Peter Chamor, which we are still eagerly awaiting. That donkey that we spoke about early in the year is due. I think it's overdue already at this point. So I don't know at one point they begin to induce donkeys. I don't know about that. But we'll keep you posted about hopefully the good news on that one. But when you have a Peter Chamor, there's also a little bit of Issa V'Hetter, a little bit of Mamonos. The Issa V'Hetter is that Peter Chamor is also Bana until you either redeem or et cetera, break its neck, and it remains also Bana. But there's also the Mamonos. The Mamonos is that you don't give the Peter Chamor to the Kohen, but rather you redeem it and give the sheep to the Kohen. So in both cases of Bechoros, there are Zechuyos of a Kohen. So now what happens? Safik Bechoros. Now I don't know whether it's a Bechor or not. I have no idea. Maybe it was the firstborn. Maybe it was the firstborn. Maybe the mother had a miscarriage before. Did I have no idea. So Echad B'chor Adam, V'Echad B'chor Behema. We'll leave out the B'chor Adam. That's Pidra Ben. That's a whole different story. Bein Tahor and Bein Tameyam. No matter what kind of a shayla it is, Hamotzer Chavel of Araya. No matter what, in terms of Mamonos, there is no need to give it to the Kohen, because the mamonis part is pure mamonis. The mamonis is right, let the Kohen prove to you that it comes to him. But the Gemara says, V'tani Allah, even though the Mishnah Mechera says that in terms of mamonis, you don't have to give it to the Kohen, but asur begiza ubi avoida. But you're not allowed to work it. You're not allowed to shear it. Losav b'chor sherecha, you just read losav b'chor tzenecha, because it's a suffix b'chor, say b'chor behemet tahora. So there's a din of mamonis, there's chus mamonis at a kohen. So that, a motzah b'chor b'rai, the Yisrael gets to keep. But in terms of working on the animal, so he has no right to say that, well, it's suffix, so therefore it's chula. No, it's suffix kachim isura l'chumra. So you can't work it, you can't shear it. On the other hand, you can get to keep it. So you have a strange din, where we split between the mamonis and the isur. So the Gemara now begins to discuss, what would the halacha be if the kohen grabs the suffix b'chor? So that would be a classic example of Ashugis Tukfa Tivei B'Safik Mamun. The Kohen is coming to Beis Din and said, listen, that Bechor is my Bechor, I'm telling you, it's a firstborn animal. And the Balabas is saying, the Israel saying, no, it's not. And the Beis Din saying, we have no idea. So Metzuch Elavariah Paskins, that remains by the Israel. But the Kohen goes in and he bowls the Israel over and he takes the Safik Bechor. Now what? So do we say Tukfa Kohen Mertzian Miyado? Or do we say Tukfa Kohen? That's the topic in Bamitzia Davava Mabez.
That specific Kohen never had a right to it.
Oh, okay. That's a whole nother wrinkle in that sugya, is that doesn't the Yisrael have what we call the Tovas Hanah? Doesn't he have the right to decide, to choose which Kohen he wants to give to? So we'll get to Bamitzia Davav when the Yeshiva's on Bamitzia next. That's Tosus Kasha on the sugya, which opens up a whole nother dimension of that sugya. So we're going to have to leave that on hold for now. So the Gemara is pilfering back and forth, Tachva Kohen, yeah, Tachva Kohen, no, what's the din? So finally the Gemara, towards the bottom of the second of the Marim Makomos, so Rabba was the one who said that Tachva Kohen Motziin Miyado. Rabba was the one who supported this idea that Tachva Kohen, we're going to take it away from him. But look at the Gemara's support for Rabba. That's really where Asugya really begins. So it's the third line from the bottom of the second of the Marim Makomos, towards the end of the line. Amalei Rav Chananya L'Rabba. So Rav Chananya turned around to Rab and he says, Tani de Masei Aloch, I'm going to prove to you that you are right, that Tachfa Kohen Motzi Miyado, even when the Kohen grabs it, so that's not acceptable, and we make him return it. What's the Raya? Hasfekos Nichnasim Ledirlis Aser, complicated story, just combines together Bechoros and Maisa Behema. There's a mitzvah that every year, a person has a lot of sheep, a lot of cows, he has to Maisa them, he has to take off a tenth, and counts off the tenth one as Asiriya Kodesh Lashem. So what if I don't own the animals, then I'm not mechuyev to mice of these animals. But what if I own the animal, but the only reason why I own one of these animals is because it was the Suffolk Bechor, that the Beis Din 5 minutes ago just paskin that I don't have to give to the Kohen, so the Beis Din in effect paskin that it's my animal, what's the Chol V'Raya? So then the Mishnah in Bechor, the Brice in Bechor tells us, well, the good news is you get to keep the animal. I guess the bad news for you is, now you have to mice an animal, you have to add that to your list. So if you have only 9 animals, and that animal gets thrown as the 10th animal, then you got to start to mice your animals. So the Brisa says that the Yisrael is such an owner of that animal that it counts towards his mice animals. So the Sveikos enter into the deer, into the corral, in order to be counted off, to take off Maisa Behema. So comes Rav Chananya and says, V'isal kedaitach, if you would hold Tukfa Kain Ein Motzin Osamiyado, if you would say that if the Kohen would have grabbed this animal, he would have kept it, Ein Motzin Osamiyado, Amay Nichnas in the deer, so then why does this animal have to go into the Yisrael's corral? Nimtza Zeh Paiter Mamona B'mono Shel Kohen. It's not right for him to use this animal as one of his potential miser animals. Why? Because then he's doing the dirty work with the Kohen's animal. He's got 769 animals to miser. Maybe we should have given the number to 10. 763 animals to miser. So he's gonna, those are his own animals. Then he throws in this 764th animal to enter into the corral. He starts counting off. It could be that the magic number 10 is gonna be this animal. So it's gonna turn out that he's using this animal to fulfill his obligations. He has a chiva maisa. All these 763 other animals must be Maisid. So there's a chance any one of them may turn out to be Maisid. 76 of these animals are going to end up becoming Maisid. But it could be that one of those 76 may be the quote-unquote Cohen's animal, the quote-unquote Suffolk animal. So comes Rav Hanani with the following cheshbon. If you hold that this is not the Cohen's animal anymore, he has no shaychus, he's out of the picture, Motzei Chamele Braya, Kapaskin, that he's not a Bailam anymore, so then this is the Yisrael's animal. It's Yisrael's animal, let him miser it, let him bring it to the basement, and do whatever he wants with it. But if you hold in the back of our minds that the Cohen is this still a shtick owner on this animal, how would that express itself as shtick or Bailas on this animal? That if Takfa Kayin, Emotzei Nesamiyado, if the Cohen would have that potential to grab the animal, and we would have to let him keep it. So it turns out that in our heart of hearts, we don't even know that the Yisrael owns the animal. We think the Kohen is also shtickle owner of the animal. That would be a problem. The Gemara says, Nim says, Yapaita b'mayna b'mayna shel Kohen. It turns out that the Yisrael was paying his taxes using the Kohen's money. So kozma, that Kohen has any connection to that animal, that's going to pose a problem. That animal's not going into the deer of the Yisrael. But from the fact that it goes into the deer of the Yisrael, it goes into the corral of the Yisrael, you see from here that the Kohen is out of the picture. So that is tantamount to saying, Tachfa Kohen, Motziyin Miyado. That was the Raya from Chananya to Rabbah. So when all the dust settles in the Sugya, it seems pretty clear that Rabbah stands, and Rav Chananya supported Rabbah. We have a Bryce to support him. And that is the din. That Takfa Kohen is Motziyin Miyado. So what that means is that even though the original Psach for the Yisrael was only given based on a Motzi Mechalev Araya, but somehow once that Psach registered, once we invoke the din of Motzi Mechalev Araya, that's it. Then it belongs to the Yisrael, it belongs to the Nitva, it belongs to the Muchzok, and nothing's going to change that. Even though the other guy subsequently becomes the quote-unquote Muchzok, Motzi Miyado, that's not acceptable. That's not going to work. Takfa Kayin is Motzi Miyado. What we sometimes use to describe that this phrase of Takfa Kayin, Motzi Miyado, because we want to take it out of the realm of Kohanim and Bechor, we want to extend it to Kol Darkula. So the Rishonim, we call in the phrase Tfisa La'achar Shenolat HaSofik. It means we have a Sofik in Beis Din, and we already decided that it's a Sofik. We already decided what's a Kuraya, and the other fellow is Taifes. So there's the corollary of Takfa Kayin, Motzi Miyado is, it's one of the identical principle called Tfisa La'acha Shinolin HaSofek Lo Mahani. It doesn't work. So if you learn about Metziah Davav, it's pretty clear that Tfisa La'acha Shinolin HaSofek just doesn't work. And it stays by the original Mosa. Notwithstanding the Gemara by Metziah Davav, there are several Gemaras that seem to contradict this. And it is because of the apparent contradiction of other Gemaras that led the Rishonim to develop a whole series of different principles as to how to understand when Tfisa L'Achshon HaSafik in fact doesn't work, like B'Metzia Davav, and when there may be certain cases when Tfisa really does work, like certain other indications of Shas. The different approaches in the Rishonim are going to present for us the background to understanding the Ran and Maseches Kedushin. So again, as we started with the Shiva by saying, the goal is to come back hopefully to the first of the Mamakomos to understand where the Ran is coming from. Because the Ran is posketing a Kedushin Shaila, not just a technical Kedushin Shaila, a fundamental Kedushin Shaila. What do you do when you have a Suffolk Kedushin? That's a pretty fundamental question. What do you do when you have a Suffolk Kedushin? So the Ran has a theory that a Suffolk Kedushin is always the Kula Min HaTorah because of Chazacha. So that Ran is hinging upon what the proper understanding of B'Metziah Davav is. So the only way to understand the Gemara B'Metziah Davav is to understand the other Gemaras that seem to contradict it, and then try to get a better understanding of, I think, 8 Mahalchim in the Rishonim as to what the proper understanding is. I'm not saying we're going to go through all of them. We're going to try to highlight the main answers in the Rishonim, the ones that hopefully will impact significantly on this Ran. So again, yes, we're still learning Maseches Kedushin, but we are taking a detour. And this is a very long detour. Yes, Derek, I was trying to drive back from Queens. And if anyone was driving back yesterday, trying to get over the bridge from Queens, it was Lo Yuman. So the detour meant a guided tour of the entire South Bronx. And Imco's, that was a 3-hour trip back. So this is a long detour also. Hopefully a lot more pleasant than some of the things that I was detouring past. But a major, major sugya in Shas. So our detour begins with a sugya in Maseches Ksubas. So the third of the Maamar Kamos. A sugya in Ksubas, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So the Gemara begins talk about a topic that seems to, at first glance, have absolutely nothing to do with that topic, but it will very, very much impact on that topic. Shnayim chasumin al ashtar umesil. You have two people signed on a document, and lo and behold, they died. Okay, that's the end of the world. So two Edom signed the document, and now the Edom died. So the Baal Ashtar, the person who has the document, comes into Beis Din, and he wants to use the document to collect it. That doesn't matter, that's fine. The problem is, Bo Shnayim in Ashuch V'Amru, two people from the marketplace, two strangers walk in and say, yes, Yodanu Shiksev Yodamu, we recognize the signatures. Now, why did we even want to know whether anyone recognizes the signatures? Because this is what's called Kiyam Shtaros. The halacha is that although if you have a shtar in Beis Din that's signed, Me'ikra Din Min HaTorah, the Gemara says, the shtar is acceptable. Beis Din looks at the shtar. We have a principle called Eidim HaChasubin al Shtar, Nasa Kamisha Nechrei Dusim Beis Din. Eidim who saw it on the document are as if they've already testified. The testimony is that once I put my name on the document, the testimony is over. I don't have to hang around. I don't have to be in Beis Din a week later. I signed a document. That's it. Done. History. Kamisha Nechrei Dusim Beis Din. I don't know if I mentioned, but right before Yom Tov, I was at a chas and I had to run from one simcha to another. So I told him, I can't stay for the chuppah, but if you want to give me whatever they wanted to give me as a kibbutz, so I said, you have to give me something to chas and stish. So they gave me the signed ksuba. So I signed the ksuba, and as I signed the ksuba, I darted out because I was later ready for the next simcha. So there was an older rav there who said to me, where are you going? I said, I got to go somewhere else. So he said, but you just signed the ksuba. They didn't even get married yet. So I looked him straight in the face and with a chuckle. I said to him, Eidim HaChasubin al Ashtar, Nasek Mish Nechwe Dusan. I already was made. I said, don't leave me anymore. So he liked the line. And I told him, he gave me rishus to leave, to go to the next event. Okay, so here we have a problem. Because even though the din is that once the Eidim signed and the Beis Din reads the document, so it's done, it's finished. But Midir Rabbanan, Chazal instituted that the other party has a right to question the authenticity of the Shtar. The other party can say, Mezuyef, could say the shtar is a forgery. Now, Minat Torah, that's not a title. Minat Torah, that's so unlikely that shtar is a mezuyah, people intend to forge signatures. We don't have to be concerned with that. But Midir Rabbanan, they gave the right to the Baal Dover, to the other fellow, to question the validity of the shtar by claiming mezuyah. How is the Baal Ashtar now going to negate that claim? He has to do what's called Kiyum Shtaros. He has to go and prove that the signatures are authentic. He doesn't have to bring in the original Eidim to prove that. He has to bring in somebody who recognizes the signatures, or he has to go to Beis Din's files and find some other document that Beis Din has that was already confirmed to be true early, which happens to also have the signatures on it. You find some other canceled check or something, find some other canceled document, and then you compare the signatures. That's what's called Kiyum Shtaros. So this is all Midir Rabbanan. Minat Torah, you don't have to do any of this. Minat Torah, Eidim, guy's a shtar, the case is over. But Midir Rabbanan, the other fellow has a right to claim Mezuyah, and then to counteract that Mezuyah, you have to undergo what's called Kiyum Shtaros. So that's exactly what's happening over here. So I walk into Beis Din with the document, I have a shtar, has two Eidim signed on it, and the Eidim are long gone, they're in the Olam HaEmes. So the other fellow I'm coming to tie in against, so he's claiming that the shtar is Mezuyah, so I'm looking around, scrounging around for people to be Mekayim the shtar. So the problem is, the two people who come and Mekayim the shtar, they didn't do such a great job. What they did is as follows. We know these signatures. We remember these guys from 20 years ago. We know these are definitely their signatures. Aval, but let us tell us a little bit about. We know a little bit about what happened at that particular signing of the document. Aval anusim hayu. When they signed that document, they signed it under duress. Somebody held a gun to their head. And then the Gemara discussed that maybe somebody offered them a bribe, different versions of how honest they were. But they were honest in a way that they shouldn't have signed the document. So now the Eidim, HaMekayim and HaShtar, are giving us some mixed reviews on the Shtar. On the one hand, they're being Mekayim the Shtar, they're saying that the signatures are, these are authentic signatures, but they're not halakhically acceptable signatures. Well, Ketanim HaYu, they say, by the way, these kids signed the document, they were only 12 years old. Whoops, well, the Eidim saw. Yeah, they saw the document, but they were Gazlanim at the time. Now, it's going to be very hard for the other Eidim to come in and tell us what the real story was because they're dead. So now we have a big problem, or even if they were alive, it could be they wouldn't be believed to say about themselves. So now we have a big, big problem here. Because on the one hand, we have, quote-unquote, confirmed the signatures to be legitimate. On the other hand, we've confirmed them to be legitimately illegitimate because now they're not acceptable because of these technicalities. So what do you do with all this? So the Brisa concludes, so the Eidim, who are, quote-unquote, Mekayim the Shtar, who then turned around the second land and apostle the Shtar, are absolutely believed. Why they believed? Because it's simple. Because if not for their testimony that the shtar was mekuyim in the first place, the shtar would have been worthless. Because you can't do anything with the shtar that's not mekuyim. So since they were the ones who were mekayim the shtar, they're the ones who gave the shtar its validity by declaring that the signatures were legitimate, they're the ones who have the right to pass on the shtar by declaring that the legitimate that the signatures are not legitimate. That was what we call in the halacha pesha, also a pesha hit there. If I walk at the maze and I give you a story, I give you half a story, and then I give you the other half, and the other half, in fact, totally undoes the first half, well, you can't accept half of what I said. You accept everything, accept nothing. So these Edom, who are now rooting the shtar, walk at the base and say, listen, either believe us or don't believe us. If you believe us, so we're telling you the shtar is possible. If you don't believe us, then you have a shtar that doesn't have kiyum shtaris on it, which is vayta possible, which is vayta worthless. So the b'raisa gluta reila nemonim. However, what if the yesh Edom shekseb yadam huzeh? What if we have other Edom who recognize the shtar? So we don't really need these Edom anymore. Or what if we have, Beis Din has in their hands a document, another document that at one time somebody had questioned and had already undergone Kiyum in Beis Din. So we, as the Dayanim, recognize the signature. We compare the signatures and they're identical. So now we don't need those Edim Habo Min Ashuk anymore. So the Braisa says, Ein Elun Emonim. Now they're no longer believed. Because Tom to walk at the Beis Din and say, oh, those two Edom, oh, they were children. Those two Edom, they were Anusim. Those two Edom, they were Rishoyim. Who are you? Do you believe to say such a thing? So Kolzman, that we needed them to be Mekayim the Shtar, then we were in a pickle, because the Pesha also Pesha hit there. They're the ones who gave validity to the Shtar, and they're the ones who are ruining the Shtar. We have to accept them. But Kolzman, we have confirmed on our own, based on our own systems, that the Shtar is in fact acceptable. We confirmed it either through other Edom, or we confirmed the validity of the shtar based on other documents. So we don't need these guys anymore. So then we just throw them out, Eilein and Emonim. Then they're not believed to disqualify the shtar. So that's how the Braisa concludes. So the Braisa compares and contrasts two cases. The first case is when we needed the Edom and Mekayimim. So once we needed them, we have to believe them from beginning to end. Second case is we didn't need them anyway, so therefore we throw them out of Beis Din. So Adkan Devir Braisa. It sounds like it's pretty straightforward. So the Gemara asks the question, what in the world does that mean? What that means is, in the second case, where we didn't need them anymore, so that means we're going to use the shtar. We're going to take the shtar and collect $1,000 that it says in the shtar. We're going to treat the shtar like a good shtar. It's a 2-on-2. Because even though the original document is quote-unquote kosher, but we have two Edom who are saying the original document is possible. So we have two Edom, the original Edom who signed and died, are testifying that this is a good document. We have two other Edom who are saying it's not a good document. Since when are we mighty mammon based on a suffix? Treyutre has a suffix. It's two stalemate. We have no Edom. It's 2-on-2. It's a suffix. Since when are we mighty mammon? That's the Gemara's kasha. So we have to figure out what the answer to that kasha is. And the Gemara is going to give us the answer, hopefully tomorrow. And then we have to figure out how does the Gemara's answer impact on our sugya in Bavitziya Davav. That's the goal. It's still part of that detour. And once we figure out how to resolve Ksubas Davchof with Bavitziya Davav, then we'll begin to get a better understanding of where the Ran is coming from in Masechus Kedushin. So the goal, once again, is to get back to the Ran, hopefully. But we have to get back to the Ran through the understanding of the Gemara's Bavitziya and the Gemara's Ksubas together. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow.